Thank you, Mrs. Hart, for that message for the kids. Lord, I just pray that you fill me with your Spirit, that the words that are said here are your words and not mine, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever started doing something? You have it planned exactly the way you think it should be. You get engulfed in it, and then all of a sudden you start deciding, you know, the original plan, it's not going to work, I'm not going to go that way, and start going a completely different direction, starting completely over. That happened to me this week. I sat down with Pastor Brian Sunday evening. We went over the service texts and decided that's a good direction we're going to go with the sermon and the service. So then Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we kind of did the things that you need to do at church. You know, let Johannes know what the sermon theme is. Is anything too big for God? Made sure Joanne put it in the bulletin. And then by Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, when I got really engrossed in this, I decided, you know what? That's not the direction we're going to go in. So, if you want, feel free to pull out your bulletins. You can scratch off, is anything too big for God? Because that's not what we're going to talk about. What we're going to talk about today is service out of joyful response. And actually, I think Carol here must have been in tune here because she pretty much was right there with me. So that was awesome. I was kind of concerned because I didn't want to, you know, call Johannes up on Saturday and say, hey, we need to change all the screens and, you know, let Carol know we're going a different direction. So thank you, and thank you for being quick to change that. As we start, let me ask you a question. What makes you happy? You can answer out loud. It's okay. What makes you happy? Candy? Is that what I heard? Having my family over? Sharing meals with friends? Absolutely. You know, people's lists, we could go on and on, thinking about the things that make us happy. You know, a lot of times our lists are going to include those things that we just talked about, family and friends, a good meal, a good drink, the good comforts of your home, maybe your dog, your cat, your car, right? Well, you know what? I would guess as you thought about what makes your heart and brings delight to your heart, those things that rank high in your list are things that are part of this life, right? Too often, we forget that maybe making this list was the promise of our Savior God to forgive our sins. I was thinking that maybe, being that it was Sunday morning, maybe somebody would come up with that, you know, but I assume that it may not be right away, but you never know. It's a shame that one thing that brings us constant delight, you know, our family isn't always with us. Our friends aren't always going to be there. We don't always get that really good meal. But Jesus' promise of forgiveness is always there with us, isn't it? Isn't it a shame that that doesn't always rank high on our list than what we remember? Well, why do we always forget that? Why is it so easy to forget God's wonderful promises to us? How wonderful it is for us as God's children when we remember the promises that He offers to us. It sure takes the fretting, the worrying, the concern away. Doesn't that always engulf us in our daily life? Don't we often get so wrapped up in the concerns and worries of what needs to happen next? As we study today, as we remember the text that we learned, as we go back and hear about Abraham and the story of Mary and Martha, we're hoping today that maybe we'll just go away remembering that God's promises are great and delightful, and in that delight in our heart, it's going to want us to serve our Lord in different ways with joy and gladness. You know what? Let's go back to that Old Testament lesson. If we go back to Genesis 18, we're going to hear about Abraham, and Abraham's heart could have been filled with sorrow and sadness. You know, sure, he did have a lot of stuff. He had opportunities to feel bad for himself. He did have a lot of earthly blessings in addition. Yet, you know, he was pretty wealthy. He had friends. He had a really great wife. But at the time of this visit from the Lord, Abraham was 99 years old. If you go back in the previous chapters, you're going to hear how Abraham heard over and over again, Abraham, you're going to have a son. This son is going to be the fulfillment of the promises that I'm giving to you, Abraham. Abraham's 99 years old. He might be thinking, What did I do to screw this one up? He could have been upset. But you know what? He and his wife didn't quite look at it that way right away. There was no son to carry on his name. There was no son to be the blood heir of his earthly wealth. We talked about him being a wealthy man. And worst of all, he didn't have that son that was promised to be the fulfillment of what they needed there. The Lord made this promise several times. It was the Lord's promise of the son and the great son to come that brought delight to Abraham's heart. The Lord's renewed that promise as he visited Abraham and Sarah in a pretty unusual way, as we hear here in Genesis 18. The Lord and two angels came to Abraham. They took on human form and visited him. You know, I just think about this story and think, would I have acted the same way as Abraham did? The Lord came, three travelers coming through. We're going to get to that a little bit more. But you know what? Even though Abraham could have just said, keep on, Abraham still said, he expressed in his actions the joy and delight that was in his heart. He wasn't frustrated. He let them know. Finally, the Lord let himself be recognized again by making the promise of a son for Abraham and Sarah again later on. While it brought delight to Abraham's heart, that may have led him to laugh about it. Yeah, I'm going to have a kid. I'm 99 years old. Would any of you laugh at that? Maybe? Yeah. Well, it brought delight to Abraham's heart, but it was a little bit different response that Sarah had, wasn't it? Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, if we remember there, after I'm worn out and my husband is old, will I now have this pleasure? Go ahead and translate that in today's language. Yeah, right. Don't you think? Well, you know, such laughter is common in the human heart. It seems that this is the way Abraham laughed in the previous chapter. If you go back to Genesis 17, go ahead and do that when you get home today and read what it says there. Abraham laughed about it. It's the way that you and I often laugh as well. The Lord promises forgiveness to us, even when we commit the most heinous of all sins. He still offers us forgiveness, doesn't he? But how many of us today, when Pastor Brian stepped down here and said, you know what, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I offer you the full forgiveness of all your sins. How many of you today said, yeah, right. How can you forgive me for what I've done? Have you been in that position? So often we do that too, don't we? So often we say, yeah, right. We laugh in response like Sarah did in response to the blessings that God has to offer us, that blessing of forgiveness. But what a delight his promise of forgiveness is and the blessings it brings to our heart when we have brought nothing but misery and guilt and despair to ourselves. What a delight is brought to our hearts when we have that promise of our earthly future, even if it looks bleak because of an illness, even if it looks bleak because of financial ruin or other situations that we sit there and fret and worry about. God gives us that promise of forgiveness. He gives us that promise that he is there walking beside us. The heart's burdened and crying in despair, Jesus' words of peace and life bring that hope and that delight. You know, Abraham knew that delight through God's promise. That same delight is yours and mine day after day. It's easy to forget that, though, isn't it? Such delight, though, if you have that delight, if you remember that promise, it shows in your daily life. And that's just where I came up with a different theme. The promise of the Lord brings delightful service from your heart. Hear that phrase again. The promise of the Lord brings delightful service from your heart. Abraham knew who gave that promise of a son to him and Sarah. Who was it? Who gave that promise to him and Sarah? God, the Lord, absolutely. You know what? And who? And he gave that promise of who that son was to be. Who was that son going to be through his descendants? It's Isaac, but then through his descendants, that son was going to be Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise, who would die on the cross to take away our sins. Abraham knew that. He knew the greater promise of forgiveness and peace with God, and it would be fulfilled through his son. The constant joy that this brought to Abraham's heart showed itself in generous service through his heart. Now, let's go back to that story. Three strangers appeared at his camp. Okay, his house. Has this ever happened to you? Maybe three strangers passing through the neighborhood. Abraham stops them and says, hey guys, if it would please you, did I forget he also bowed down? If it would please you, please wait here. Just rest a little bit. I'll have my servants bring some water over so you can rest and relax under the shade of the tree. Well, it doesn't stop there. They did. You know, here's these strangers that Abraham didn't know was the Lord at first. You know, it says later that the Lord was revealed to him. Well, so first he says, I'll also get you a little meal. A little meal? Okay, it says there that he asked his wife to prepare 3 seahs of flour into bread. Anybody have any idea how much 3 seahs of flour? If you read through that, you might just assume it's like 3 cups of flour, right? That make a nice loaf of bread, I think, right? No. 3 seahs is almost like a bushel of flour. In other words, another place it says it's about 22 quarts of flour into bread. That's a pretty nice loaf of bread, right? Okay, then he says, I'm going to go get the best calf, the fattened calf. So he runs out into the field. He finds the calf. Okay, it's not like he runs to the freezer, pulls something out, and pops it into the microwave. He's going out to the field, finds the best calf, takes it to his servants and says, here, prepare this. Now, I'm not a butcher. I'm not a farmer. That's not going to be a quick process, is it? This thing's here running around, isn't it? And they're going to eat it? Okay, so it's going to take a little bit of time, if I'm not mistaken. Well, then, that's not all. Abraham himself goes and gets the dairy products. And he goes and prepares curds and milk. Probably a dish that's somewhat like cottage cheese, right? Abraham himself is doing this. Now, let me ask you, at the show of hands, who would go do this for 3 strangers that was just passing through your neighborhood? Abraham's service was showing from the delight of his heart, wasn't it? He was happy to share with these people. Abraham gladly set before his unknown visitors this feast. While he didn't know these men, he served them. Just a side note, what time do you think they actually ate? I'm thinking at least 10, 11, midnight, I don't know. But this was a feast that he was delightedly sharing. Now, Abraham was happy to do it because he knew how generous his God was to him. For several months, perhaps, he had heard this promise of a son repeated. He knew, he believed, he trusted in God that this promise was for him, that his son and his descendants through him was going to be the fulfillment of the promise that his sins were forgiven. And now Abraham would be reminded again of how gracious God was. After knowing that Sarah laughed at the notion, remember the, yeah, right, the Lord let it be known that he was willing to be with sinners and make peace with them. You know, this is an interesting part of it. God didn't, you know, rain fire and brimstone down. He didn't scream and yell at Sarah. I love how he responded to her. Kind of like a sense of humor, if you ask me. What did he say? In 1 year, I'll be back, and you will have that son. You know, can you imagine that next visit a year later? And here's Sarah. Abraham's 100 years old. Wow. Can anybody think, you know, and I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of trivia question here. It's not a difficult question, but can you think of anybody else who went through a similar process that when he was told he was going to have a son, he was rather up in years, that he scoffed at God? I think I heard somebody say it, Zechariah. That's right. Only Zechariah didn't have it quite so easy. He didn't get the, in a year you're going to have the kid. He actually got his mouth closed. He wasn't able to talk. You know, not always does God let us off the hook as easy as he let Sarah off the hook. But you know what? That same promise now kept through the birth, life, and death of Jesus, and to be fully kept when he comes again to bring you into heaven, is here for us. The Lord saw fit to live with us through Jesus. He served God by keeping all the commandments. Not only that, but then he offered that perfect life by dying on the cross to take away all of our sins. How awesome is that? Our failures, God died on the cross. Because of this promise, we should be willing to spend time with him, right? Isn't that why we're here today? In response to know that Jesus died for us? But you know what? When we think about serving God, it really brings us back to the gospel lesson. This is a lesson we hear a lot of. You know, we've probably heard this in Sunday school. We've heard this story over and over again about Mary and Martha. The serving reminds us of that gospel lesson. According to Luke, Martha took the initiative of welcoming Jesus into her home. Mary either lived there or was also invited by Martha to come visit and spend some time. You know, as a parent of a couple of kids, this next part of the story really cracks me up because it just reminds me so much of the kids, doesn't it? Here, Martha was upset. She was frustrated that her sister wasn't helping with all the preparations. She was serving Jesus, and her sister wasn't helping. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? It's not fair! You've never heard that as a parent, have you? Tell her to come and help me! Yeah, actually, when I'm hearing this, I hear fair like in a two-syllable. It's not fair! You know, you guys never quite say it. Okay, you do. You know, I'm going to kind of embarrass them a little bit, and they always hate it when I get up front because, well, it's somewhat embarrassing. But four of my older kids are able to do dishes now. They help us out in the family. Actually, it's their family responsibility that they do the dishes. And I can't tell you how many times I hear, it's not fair, because, well, always after the meal, there's at least one child that has to go to the bathroom for as long as the dishes take. There's always another child that, you know, walks around, looks around, finds something to look at until the dishes are done. And there's always at least one or two that, you know, they're a little older and they know the right way to do the dishes, and you should do that, and you should do that, and you should do that. Is it done yet? And so, invariably, somebody runs up to me and says, he's not helping. It's not fair. Now, to be truthful, I think most of the time the kids are helpful and they do it out of response and joyfulness. But Satan gets in the way and has a response just like Martha did. You know, the kids get frustrated, to be sure. I often play along, though. I try to figure out, I'll play the investigator. Okay, who did what? Who's not doing what? And why are they saying that, right? Did Jesus do that? No, he didn't play along. He just looked at her and said, his response wasn't saying that Mary was okay, even though we want to often say that. But to be sure, Jesus said that Mary chose the good part, which will never be taken away from her. We shouldn't interfere from his words that Martha's choice of serving was somehow wrong. Because Martha started out very possibly serving with a joyful heart. It's a matter of priorities and selection. Mary wasn't avoiding the tricky thing of service, was she? We don't know the full story. But where the problem came in here was the attitude. When Martha's attitude changed, was it a joyful response to Jesus? Or was it now that she had to do this service? Do we ever get caught up in having to do service here at church? I have to come to church to get this done this week because I signed up for it. Ever do that? We all fall in that trap, I think. Martha was not engaged in mere lip service. She was working hard. So hard that she resented her sister's apparent laziness, right? Well, some of you know that I worked in the roofing business this last year, so I figure I can tell you a roofing story, right? Okay, well, here it goes. Two brothers worked for a roofing contractor. They were usually sent out together on a job. You know, brothers probably got sent out together on the same job team. Well, one day, the employer announced that they were going to each be paid per shingle instead of so much per hour. You know what was amazing? The work output increased by 25% immediately. Interesting. Well, got to find out a little bit of background here. You see, the boss had been watching. The one brother, whenever he could, took a smoke break. He's a little lazy. He took his time. He didn't get quite as much done. But the older brother worked hard out of joyful service. He wasn't there to get his brother in trouble. He wasn't tattling on him. He just kept working. This boss, he's a pretty smart guy. He knew that he wasn't going to let his brother get paid twice as much, though, right? So as soon as he realized that, he said, hey, paid per shingle. Unlike that hardworking brother, Martha complained. This is where we have to think of ourselves as well, the question of motives. What are our motives when we do serve? What drives us and motivates us? Is it the response from Jesus that he died on the cross? Or is it that we have to do something? Why do we do it? Do we resent other people when they get to do something and you don't? Or that you have to do something and they're not doing it? It goes both ways. You know, you're willing to give an hour or two of your day today to serve at the feet and listen at the feet of Jesus. Singing praises right here in his house. Just as Abraham took the best of his cattle and served it up to the Lord, so you ungrudgingly and with joy will offer your offering to the Lord later. You know, even with strangers, you can be generous, offering not only some help for their physical life, but more importantly, offering them the peace of Jesus for their souls. But all this starts with the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? What great things he has promised and done for you and for me. He forgives sins. He promises blessings now and forever. He holds out a future for you. May you remember that this constant delight of your heart, that this is the source of delightful service coming from your heart to your God and to everyone you meet. We say everyone you meet because, as we said earlier, when you have that joy in your heart, it will show and it will be seen. Amen. Please rise now, and out of response to hearing God's word, share with me the words of the Apostles' Creed.